terror. Gaia, the spirit of the Earth, can no longer stand the terrible destruction plaguing our planet. Five magic rings to five special young people. Watch a couple of them after. The power of Earth. North America, with the power of fire. From the Soviet Union, Luka with the power of reason. From Asia, Yi with the power of water. From South America, Machi with the power of heart. Five powers combined, they summon Earth's greatest champion, Captain Planet.
Hello and welcome to the 39th episode of Tooncast, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm your host, Steve Joan Mike, and today I'm joined once again by Kevin, Professor Boss, K-Dog Thompson. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I am doing fantastic.
Yes, my Masters of the Universe DVD came in the mail today, so I'll have to watch that a little bit later. Yes, and today we are going to be discussing Captain Planet.
And the Planet too.
Oh, God. You know, what's funny, and I'm going to get this out of the way now, what's funny about this show, I was a fan of it when I was a kid.
Oh.
Well, it came out, what, let's see...
1990.
Yeah, I was 10. And give me a break. Transformers was gone. Silverhawks never mattered. Thundercats was gone. You know, there was still Turtles, but I mean, it just I don't know.
Don't ever say that again.
Yeah, Silverhawks never mattered, and the Miami Dolphins suck.
Man,
So yes, we why don't we just get right into the history lesson?
All right, Captain Planet and the Planeteers history lesson coming up here. Captain Planet and the Planeteers was basically the world's first environmental superhero, who actually was originally to be voiced by actor Tom Cruise, and his heroic quintet: Kwame, Linka, Mati, Yi, and Wheeler. Each bestowed with special powers, of course, earth, wind, heart, water, and fire. We'll get more into that later. And they team up to rid the world of eco-villains, Hoggish Greedy, Vermis Scum, Duke Nukem, Sly Sludge, Dr. Blight, and a bunch of others, who are polluting and plundering Earth's resources in this long-running weekly animated series based on an original idea by media mogul Ted Turner, founder, obviously, of Superstation WTBS and the Turner Network. Simultaneously premiering on TBS and 223 independent stations in the fall of 1990, the series was developed in close collaboration with cartoon studio Beak Enterprises, which produced the series for the first three seasons until 1993. Production was taken over by Hanna-Barbera beginning with the 94-95 season, the show's fourth and final season of original episodes, which was retitled The New Adventures of Captain Planet. Following the show's 90 debut, the series became a showcase for Hollywood's environmental activism. Many major Hollywood stars lent their voices to the series, which we'll get into later. All working for scale, and each episode focused on different environmental concerns. In 1995, the series was rebroadcast on the Cartoon Network. That does it for the history lesson. What are your general memories besides being a fan of the show, Mike?
Alright, you know, now that I'm, God, 30 years old, you know, I have at least two decades or two and a half decades worth of knowledge as far, like, you know, I really can't count the full three decades because not a lot of us, majority of us, don't remember what the hell happened when we were like a year and a half old or whatever. But, you know, when I'm a fan of something, I'm always a fan of it. I know that sometimes stuff doesn't hold up. But when I was 10, this, as I said before, you know, Transformers was gone, He-Man was gone, Thundercats was gone, Silverhawks never mattered, you know, it was, you know, and, you know, we still had Turtles and whatever other, like, I think the Disney afternoon and the Nintendo cartoons were just starting around this time as well. So I was a fan of this. I was also, this is probably something we may have to try to find, may have to add it to the schedule for Tooncast. I was also a fan of James Bond Jr. cartoons. But anyway, you know, 10-year-old self to my now 30-year-old self, the 10-year-old in me still likes it. The 30-year-old in me cannot stand it. This show has got to be the worst fucking show ever.
Not the, I won't let you go that far. It's not the worst ever. I don't like it at all, but it's not the worst ever.
No, that goes to Silverhawks.
Better than Dexter's Laboratory.
No. See, back in the 80s, and I know you know this, but back in the 80s, we had cartoons, and then we had Sesame Street and Mr. Rogers. You don't mix an education and entertainment and make edutainment that, no. Oh, God. Just, no. What the hell?
As far as my recollection goes from when I was a kid, I am proud to say that, first of all, I watched the cartoon. I watched every cartoon. You could have put anything on TV in the 80s cartoon-wise, and I would have at least watched a little bit of it. I don't know how, because I remember being outside a whole lot, too, but somehow I watched every cartoon in the 80s, and I guarantee. So I watched it, but I am proud to say that I didn't like it as a kid, and I still don't like it as an adult. I never liked this show. I watched it enough to know, I know the main characters, I know the, you know, the premise of it. I actually didn't mind the Captain Planet as a character, but I don't know. I went straight from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles straight into Chippendale's Rescue Rangers, Tailspin, and those cartoons that were happening on Disney era Nickelodeon and stuff like that. I went straight into those. Captain Planet was not something that I spent time on. I was way too obsessed with Turtles, and then obviously, like I said, got into the Disney stuff. So I wasn't ever really a big fan of this show. I never owned any of the toys. I watched it occasionally, probably if nothing else was on, but that was about it for me. It's like you said, it's god awful.
I had a Wheeler action figure.
You just keep going down the list.
Shut up, man.
I don't mind if you put a little tiny education dose in a show. In moderation, it's fine, but I don't need to be hit over the head with a frying pan on the education and the environmentalist side of things. If it would have done it a little bit more, incognito type stuff or more subliminal, I'd be fine with it probably, but I just can't get over it. It's the same reason why I don't like, this is a whole other ball of worms here, but it's the same reason why I don't like Avatar, the movie, as much as everybody else does, because their messages were just way too over the top, hit you in the head with the frying pan type stuff. I like to have to think a little bit more and not be so blatant.
It just doesn't, in this show, it's like, what the hell, you know? Oh, God.
Right into the character.
Yeah, let's get into the voice cast here. My 10-year-old self never knew that Gaia, at least from 91 to 93, was voiced by Whoopi Goldberg. I never caught on to that until I watched it a couple episodes recently, and I heard somebody mention that Whoopi Goldberg played her. And then once, I think it's after the third season or like going into the third or fourth year, Margot Kidder, Lois Lane, replaced Whoopi Goldberg as Gaia.
I don't remember if I knew at the time. I want to say that I probably did know that it was Whoopi Goldberg just because I watched a whole lot of other stuff that Whoopi Goldberg was in at the time. But I can't say that for sure. That might be just me now kind of reflecting back on it. But that's... Gaia is one of my biggest problems character-wise in this show. And I'd have to listen to some episodes with Lois Lane doing the voice, but I love Whoopi Goldberg. I love her voice and everything, but it did not fit that character at all.
Yeah.
Like, when you see a picture of someone and then you picture in your mind what you think it's going to sound like, you know, mm-hmm. if you see a picture of Gaia, you're not going to picture Whoopi Goldberg's voice coming out of her. I mean, the other people weren't as bad, except for, I do have to mention right off the top that, obviously the main characters are five different kids from five different parts of the world, and they all spoke English, which obviously they had to for a cartoon, but that kind of bugged me.
The woman that plays Linka, Kath Susie, the Linka character, she did mix in some Russian sayings, I believe, like Bushinoy or, you know, whatever. I don't know. I mean, there's stuff mixed in, but yeah, you're right. You know, it's like, Kwame, why doesn't he speak African? Or, yeah.
And the accents were all over the place. Some of them did a good job with their accent. Some of them didn't do a good job.
Yeah.
Definitely did either good or bad, depending on, you know, which episode it was. Some did a good job. I'm not going to, you know, discount some of them, but the voice casting or the voice acting in this show to me was all over the place. There was some good, there was some bad. I really liked David Coburn as Captain Planet
and Captain Pollution.
Yeah, I liked his voicing. I especially liked what Deke did with the echo effect on his voice at times, which Hanna-Barbera decided not to do for some reason.
Right.
So I liked him, but you have a weird mix. You have a mix of veteran or really good up-and-coming voice actors that we're all familiar with, like Kat Susie, Scott Menville, obviously Frank Welker, Cree Summer, Maurice LaMarche, Jim Cummings, Cam Clark, all those type of people. You have, you know, and that's not even talking about the additional cast, which was like a who's who with Charlie Adler, Michael Bell, Jeff Bennett, Peter Cullen, Tom Coleman, etc.
Yeah.
Rob Cullen, fanboy.
I gotta say, one that really shocks me is to see Jordy LaForge as Kwame. LeVar Burton played Kwame.
See, I thought he did a decent job, and
I'm not saying that it's a... No, I'm not saying anything against Mr. Burton whatsoever. I'm not saying that he did a bad job as Kwame. I'm just saying I never knew because I wasn't...
It was harder to tell with him.
Yeah, because, well, the other thing is I never was that much of a Trekkie when I was a kid. I mean, like, I watched Next Generation, but I'm not like Steve Snowball Sailor or somebody. Yeah, I'm not a major Trekkie, so...
I was not a major Trekkie as far as the original Star Trek, but I was obsessed with the Next Generation. I actually still DVR it right now when it's on in repeats and watch them. But I could tell Whoopi Goldberg a lot easier than I could tell LeVar Burton. But to get back to my point, like, it has all those voice casting, voice artists, voiceover stars that we're used to, but then it also has this mix of Hollywood who's who type bullcrap, which to me usually doesn't work in cartoons. When you have people like, you know, Meg Ryan and Martin Sheen and Sting and Diana Warwick and Ted Turner and Elizabeth Taylor and stuff like that, like, the mixture just doesn't, I don't think it just goes well. Plus, the problem with that is when you have those big stars on, you know, especially the bad guys, if you look at the bad guys who started Tim Curry, Jeff Goldblum, Meg Ryan, Martin Sheen, and Dean Stockwell, who all eventually gave up their roles to more established voice artists. But when you have those stars, what happens is they record the ensemble, if it's an ensemble show, which this was, they record the ensemble with someone else filling in for those people because they're never available because of their schedule. And then the stars come in at their convenience, record their lines, and it gets put into the place of the original whoever was filling in the line.
Right.
Which I think leads to some, I mean, in my opinion, you get a better product when everybody's in an ensemble and they're all recording together and playing off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're doing this where you have it, but then you're replacing someone's lines with some celebrity's lines, it just, not that you could tell as a kid, but looking back, it's just kind of, I don't know, that's what to me leads to some inconsistency in the voice acting in this show.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just looking at the voice list on some of the characters. It lists when they voiced them in, like, the original. Like, the original Sly Sludge was Martin Sheen from 90 to 93. And then I believe they replaced him
with Jim Cummings.
With Jim Cummings. So, from 93 to 93. Yeah. I mean, you know.
The same thing. You got Verminous Scum by Jeff Goldblum replaced by Maurice LaMarche.
Yeah.
Dean Stockwell, Duke Nukem, replaced by Maurice LaMarche, and then the last one, Meg Ryan, Dr. Blight, replaced by Mary Kay Bergman. So they all got replaced by better voice actors, and I would be tempted to watch some of the later episodes in the show to see if the voice acting is a little more consistent.
Now, of course, my 10-year-old self knew nothing of this voice replacement, but I'm so glad that they had... what's his name? Coburn, David Coburn, doing both voices of Planet and Pollution. I thought that was so cool. Because he did was kind of like talk like this, and not really country, but I'm failing at attempting to do like a skater dude type of voice. It's like, come on, dudes, we got to get some pizza! You know? Yeah, if it wasn't for the voice actor replacement, I think it would have been a really great show as far as the voice cast goes.
Yeah.
The show overall, no.
What about the actual characters then? We kind of established that the voice acting isn't consistent, but there's 1,000 people involved in the voice acting. But
yeah.
Just breaking it down to the actual individual characters, did you have one? You said you had the Wheeler figure. Was that your favorite character?
Probably my 10-year-old self thought it was because he was from North America. Forget the fact that he was from fucking New York. Would have much rather liked it if he was from Boston. But, you know, I think it was because he was from where I was from, being in, you know, North America, whatever.
Well, let me just real quick break down, just in case people aren't aware of Captain Planet, just so we can match up the right one with the right one. But
right.
Kwame is from Africa, and his power is Earth. Wheeler's from North America, his power is Fire. Link is from, well, what they say the Soviet Union, in later episodes they say Eastern Europe, but the Soviet Union didn't exist anymore. Has the power of wind. Is it G or Gi? I can't remember.
It's Gi.
Gi is from Asia, has the power of water, and Mati is from, is he from South America somewhere?
Yeah, he's South America.
Amazon, the rainforest, and his power is heart. You have fire, wind, earth, water, and heart.
Okay, well, I know the heart thing is kind of a controversy amongst people who either love the show or hate the show, but I can kind of explain it away a little bit. I was looking on YouTube before we did the recording, and I found the very first episode on YouTube where they are all assembled, and Guy is, it's kind of like now where, live-action Power Rangers movie where Dalcia is telling them all their new powers. Same deal.
Right.
You know, Gaia says that Mati is, which Mati's name looks like Mai Tai, but, she says that the reason why he has the heart power is to connect the entire team.
Yeah,
and then he can basically read all their thoughts, which I think is a huge plot device.
Oh yeah, and he's basically the power that keeps them all together and stuff like that. You spoke a couple things. You mentioned a couple things. You mentioned YouTube first of all, and there is a funny video that you can check out where someone has gone through that. I don't remember. I think they've spliced parts of different episodes.
Yeah.
They've basically gone through and created a whole episode where Mati gets replaced and fired from the Planeteers. and they do a really good job of finding clips that the people's mouths actually fit with whoever is recording their voices over it.
Mm-hmm.
Or else they're taking bits and pieces of it and making it into sentences. But it's funny because they fire him and they replace him. And he's like, well, you need five people to summon Captain Planet, so you need me, and they're like, no, we've replaced you. And then they're like, who did you replace him with? And they're like, oh, another fire. So then they did the thing where they say the Earth, wind, fire, and they do another fire. Like they call it off twice, and it's just like some truck driver guy that's featured in one of the episodes. It's just really funny. You can see a lot of stuff like that because a lot of fans don't like the fact that he had heart. But I understand the purpose of it. You also mentioned though the first episode. I love how Gaia, she's seeing what's happening, and she's like underneath this like her little cave type thing, and starting to melt or whatever. And she has a line that says, "I need young people to help now." I'm like, what? I'm like, you're like this magical goddess type person, and then there's a problem, and you're like, who can I find to help me? Oh, I need young people. Like, it's such a lame line to me.
Alright, now I understand your point, but I can not really explain it away, but I can kind of go around it in saying that adults, as adults, we are very close, for the most part, a lot of people, including myself, I know myself, I'm, depending on what it is, I'm a very close-minded person. I am a very selfish person, don't get me wrong, I am, but... And I think that's what they were kind of going for, where, you know, maybe you can make the analogy, oh, well, she needs a bunch of young people because they're the most gullible, and, you know, honestly, yeah. You know, in the hero's character descriptions, you have Mati, who is only 12 years old, you have Gi, who is 16, Linka is 16, and Kwame is 16, the oldest one is Wheeler at 17, and Wheeler is the most immature one out of the group.
That's true, because he's from North America. They had to make him the most immature.
Oh, well, true, but, you know, what I'm saying is they're all, like, not mid-teens. You know, they're not quite adults yet, so, you know, maybe you could say that she was going to manipulate them and, I don't know, rape them sometime. I don't know. You know, yeah. Whatever. I don't know.
Like when they're introducing the characters, when they introduce Mati and he's in the rainforest, I think it's Mati, it's either him or Kwame, but I'm pretty sure it's Mati. Because they go to each person's like home place to like where they first get discovered or whatever. He like scares a tiger just without anything. Like like there's a tiger that's going after this animal and he like jumps in between them and the tiger runs off. I'm like, man, that kid's got some power there before he even has the damn ring. But even with that, I think Mati is probably my favorite, even though I don't like his power necessarily. I think it was more of a plot device type thing, but I think it was, oh, we need a fifth power and we've already used the basic element, so we got to come up with something weird. But I think Mati is probably my favorite character out of the five Planeteers, and either Gi or Wheeler was probably my least favorite. Probably Gi.
You know, watching that first episode, I don't know if it was the poor YouTube quality or if it was the way the show was actually intended. Gi, she looks like her voice or the animation is lip-synced around the actor or whatever, because it looks like she's talking like Japanese, like, I'm saying all this stuff, but yet my mouth is closed. You know, the animation on her close-up sucks. If I was going to pick probably a favorite hero character, it would probably be like number one favorite. It'd probably be a tie between Captain Planet and Tsuchi.
Well, yeah, I was just considering, I guess, the main five. Captain Planet's my favorite character by far on the whole show. Which one of the five original Planeteers is your least favorite?
Linka, because she wouldn't give out.
I like Linka better than Gi for some reason. I don't know.
Well, no, I like Linka, but, you know, come on, give Wheeler a break every now and then. I didn't really have a connection with Kwame. He seemed to be, like, the lone one, you know, pretty much. I mean, yeah, he was kind of like the quote-unquote team leader, but... I don't know. I really don't have like a worst favorite hero, or you know, I think it boils down to the horrible writing is what it boils down to.
Yeah, I think I like Mati just because of his voice actor, which is Scott Mendel, which obviously I didn't know at the time, but I think he did a really good job with it. I like his accent on it, and I just liked it about Mati. As far as the bad guys go, could they have come up with names for these guys?
Alright, well, I mean, you know, again, going with the environmental edutainment thing, you know, it's kind of like combining pollution with the seven deadly sins, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, hoggish greedly, loot and plunder, sly sludge, Duke Nukem, obviously, verminous scum. They're just bad names.
Dr. Blight, you know, and, you know, you gotta wonder, Duke Nukem, hello, copyright infringement.
I was wondering which one came first.
I can find out.
That's what I was wondering. I didn't know if one took off of the other one or what. I was in my mind, I was thinking that this came first and the video game took off of it, but maybe it's vice versa. I really don't know. And then we should say with the bad guys, you also had, obviously, like we said before, Captain Pollution, who at one point basically Dr. Blight steals the planet Tyr's rings and creates duplicates of them. So then to combat earth, wind, heart, water, and fire, we have a deforestation ring, a radiation ring, a smog ring, a toxic ring, and a hate ring. Obviously, you can match up each one, deforestation with earth, radiation with fire, I guess, kind of. Smog with wind, toxic with water, and hate with heart. And then, of course, the five bad guys could summon Captain Pollution. So that basically does it for, like, the main characters. Obviously, there's lots of little side characters here and there.
Yeah.
Because it lasts, you know, four or five seasons long or however long it was. So there's going to be a lot of different people that play just one part, you know, one episode shots or whatever. But those are the main characters. Hoggish Greedley, he's the one featured at the beginning, and he does kind of, he's like a pig-like human. But they're all, one thing that this show got away with that no other show in the 80s could, basically, if you think about it, cartoons in the 80s were up against the parent brigade, basically. And if you had violence, you usually got people came after you, so you couldn't have violence in your cartoon. And there was a lot of things that you couldn't do. Captain Planet got away with doing all of it because they're this environmental show, and the parents and everybody would stay away from them. One thing that usually was a no-no in cartoons that would get people all upset is when you had all the good guys pretty, for lack of a better word, and all the bad guys being these grotesque, ugly people. That was usually something that got all the adult groups at you, because they didn't want kids to think, you know, pretty people are good and ugly people are bad, I think. But Captain Planet did it, and they did it big time. And nobody said boo because, oh, we're promoting the environment. But if you look at these bad guys and picture them, they're grotesque looking. And then you have all the Planeteers and Captain Planet and all that, which are these, you know, more clean cut, trimmed up, you know, like Captain Planet's buff and all that stuff. And so that's one thing that this makes this show kind of unique. It also has a lot more violence than most cartoons that the 80s did and 90s, early 90s, because of the fact that nobody cared about the violence because, oh, we're doing a good thing and we're talking bad about pollution.
Well, according to Wikipedia, now, Captain Planet came out in 90, right?
The show debuted in 90, yeah.
According to Wiki, Duke Nukem, the video game, the very first game, premiered in 91 on MS-DOS. So they probably stole the name from Captain Planet.
Interesting. See, I kind of thought that's what it was, but I didn't know. Maybe there was some type of, maybe Ted Turner owns both things. I don't know.
What doesn't Ted Turner own?
He owns the whole world, doesn't he? Oh, goodness. So I think, do you have any comments about the bad guys?
I liked a lot of the voicing on the bad guys. You know, obviously you have Ed Asner as Hoggish Greedley, which kind of surprised me. Yeah, this premiered on September 10th, 90, so the video game came afterwards. I don't know. It's just one of those things where, yes, it is an awesome voice cast. It's great that they got even those, you know, major celebrities. Of course, they had to replace them later, but the show itself just sucks.
We're almost to the show itself.
Yeah, I know. when we go into the behind-the-scenes segment.
Yeah, going into production a little bit, obviously a feature of the show is every episode's ending, which, like most 80s and early 90s shows, had, you know, the promotional piece at the end. Usually had a pair of 30-second clips known as Planeteer Alerts, in which the characters inform the viewers on ways that they can help the environment by joining organizations or writing government officials to voice their opinion on specific issues.
Like, that's going to happen.
Yeah, the clips basically contain moral messages directed to the viewers, delivered by, obviously, Captain Planet, Gaia, or other characters. But, I don't know, it's just...
Yeah.
Like, if that would have been the only time they would have done it, that's fine, because most shows did something kind of like that at the end, but it wasn't the PSAs really that bothered me on the show. It was the fact that the entire show was a PSA. The entire show was one big, long promotional thing on it. The theme, ending credits theme, is also considered one of the most memorable parts of the series due to its catchy main chorus and rock track, the best theme songs of the
episode. All right, I think this is one of those shows. It's kind of like I would hate to see GoBot versions of the Planeteers. This is one of those shows like GoBots where the theme song, while it's not the best theme song of all time, or it's not even
the best part of the show.
It's the best part of the show. You know, A Formula for Hate. The episode entitled A Formula for Hate in 92 was unique for the series in that it did not deal with environmental pollution or destruction. It was also the first episode in American children's animated series to directly deal with the AIDS-HIV pandemic, and also the first to directly mention sex on a children's show. In the episode, Verminous Scum brainwashes a local community into thinking the virus can be spread through casual contact, thus causing people to hate and fear a young man infected with HIV named Todd, plays charities. I find it, there's something very wrong where Captain Planet is known for the first American animated cartoon ever to bring up sex or AIDS or HIV.
Yeah. They shouldn't have done that. I understand that they may have got some props for it or whatever, but first of all, it's a show basically dealing with all... We've talked about it. It's established the main characters as all being teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know this episode. Maybe Todd's portrayed as being older. But the fact that they're basically showing a teenage show dealing with a cartoon-wise. I don't need sex and AIDS in a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, save that for something more live-action drama type stuff. You know what I mean? And then, obviously, we had the shift into later seasons, which was called The New Adventures of Captain Planet. Just going to sum up basically what happened here is you had a shift from Deke to Hanna-Barbera, which had just been acquired by Turner, just like everything in the world has been acquired by Turner.
Yeah.
And the main differences here is basically that they go back into the past of each character a little bit more. They shift Linka from being... from Eastern Europe instead. They switch a bunch of voice actors, obviously, like we talked about before. The animation style is a little bit different. Obviously, they use the same character models from Deke, but it's usually more colorful, more vibrant animation that you get from Hanna-Barbera with this one. They had different outfits. Sound effects were different. For example, like we talked about, Captain Planet's echo and his voice disappears in the Hanna-Barbera's version. And also they changed the soundtrack. The original Captain Planet had more of a synthesized rock soundtrack, and it was replaced by more orchestral pieces by Hanna-Barbera. And then, of course, the main shift of all the voice actors, like we talked about before, especially Gaia and stuff like that. And then the opening narration was voiced now by Captain Planet instead of by Kwame like it was originally. So those are the main changes that happened in between Deke and Hanna-Barbera. Some were good, I think. Some were bad. I like the voice acting switches. I don't necessarily like that they took the echo out of Captain Planet, and I don't like the shift in the musical soundtrack. But it is what it is.
Yeah. And, you know, outside of Ted Turner, I don't recognize any writers or directors on this. So, yeah, you know, we're going to move into the actual show. Okay. Is there any possible way you can give this a 5-second plot?
Yeah, basically you have people we have bad guys, which are ugly, grotesque villains, who are trying to, you know, make money or be greedy or get some type of ends, and because of that they're causing the world to be polluted, or they're releasing oil or toxins into rivers, etc. So basically Gaia has summoned these five kids from five different parts of the world. They get rings representing their powers. And here's the kicker, if they ever come across a problem that's too hard for them to handle, they can combine their powers with our powers combined and call on Captain Planet. Weird that every single problem they come across is too hard for them to handle. Always need to call Captain Planet. Captain Planet comes in and does crazy stuff, like, for example, in the first episode where oil has been leaked into an entire, like, river, he somehow gets all the oil to suck back into some type of thing. It's humanly impossible. The physics wouldn't allow what he's doing, but he's Captain Planet, so that's cool. But basically, he comes in, saves the day, and then we go to our next episode, which is basically repeat ad nauseum, the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. So that's the plot of the show.
Alright.
I got a couple problems I gotta get off real quick.
Go ahead.
First of all, the fact that every problem is too hard for them to handle, so the Planeteers are really worthless pieces of crap. I have a problem with the original episode that when she's talking about all this, and she's introduced, she brings them all together, that none of the kids want, every one of the kids wants in. Every one of the kids basically wants to be involved in this thing. I you would have thought that there would have been one kid that was like, screw this, I want to go play video games or something like that. That's not a big deal. My biggest problem is, like I said, that the whole thing's a PSA. Even in, for example, again, the first episode, they're in a car or somewhere, and they're driving, or they're in a spaceship. That's what they're in. They're in their, like, little shuttle ship, I don't know what you want to call it, going to where this pollution is happening. And, like, one of the kids says, fasten your seatbelt for safety. Like, seriously? No kid would have said that.
Again, it goes to the writing, dude.
Yeah, it's just so over the top. The writing sucks, and the it's just a half-hour PSA every single episode is a half hour of straight PSAs. I like the other one too, when whatchamacallit gets his power of Earth, Kwame, the first thing he says when he has the power to create mountains and volcanoes and earthquakes and stuff like that, which he does originally, like when he first uses it, he splits the Earth and then basically creates a chasm. He's like, this is the first thing that comes out of his mouth, I will be able to plant many trees.
Well, now, okay, alright. The thing with that is, though, because, like I said, I watched the first episode not too long ago, just recently here, when she's, before she brings them together, when she's going into their little worlds or wherever the hell they are, we see Kwame planting trees by himself, you know, digging into the ground, and so I think that's where that would come from. Granted, it's a shit line, but
nobody would say that when they just get that power. Nobody would say that. That's like getting the power of fire and like saying something good about it. Nobody thinks good when if they have the power of fire.
that's one of my problems with this show. At least with the very first episode. Apparently, once they had the power ring on, if they said the name of their power, it would automatically activate without them, like, intentionally trying to use it. Like, there's, like, four times where Wheeler says, oh, we're gonna, you know, we're gonna put out this fire or whatever. His ring just automatically, you know, activates and sets the plane on fire and shit. And I'm like, what the hell, man?
I got, my last issue. First of all, it goes back to these Planeteers. Not only are they so pathetic that they have to basically call Captain Planet every episode, which I know, I understand why, because everyone wants to see Captain Planet, but couldn't they have ever had something they could have solved on their own? But not only that, they have these power rings, and you gotta think, okay, if you're a Planeteer and you're home at your home doing your own business or whatever, you don't need the ring because nobody's causing any problems. If you're in a pollution type environment, the rings lose their effectiveness when they're surrounded by pollution and toxins. So you've given the kids a ring that is supposed to help fight pollution that is rendered useless when covered in pollution. Like, doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose of having the superpower ring if it's going to lose its power when it's around the thing that it's supposed to be combating?
True, yes, but there's a slight difference. It depends, because I know in the first episode when they were trying to clean up the oil spill or whatever, Gi used hers, and there was clean water right by there. You know,
yeah.
But you're right. If they were, like, say Captain Pollution was sitting on top of all five of them, their rings would not work whatsoever.
And then they can't summon Captain Planet.
Yep.
Tell me a set of five. These are the five heroes of the show. Tell me any other show where the heroes are less of, you know what I mean? Like, these are the most pathetic heroes I've ever seen.
They are.
There's never a show where the heroes have less power or less effectiveness.
Oh, exactly. And I think it goes back to the fact that they're kids. I mean, not to say that young adults or teenagers are incapable, but, I mean, come on. You know, it's just like, I don't know.
That being said, the scenes when Captain Planet come, when they actually say, the best line written in this whole show, because most lines are terrible, and that's why we've never heard of any of the writers of this show, but the one line that they did get right is when they do skew the summons and they say, you know, with our powers combined, and they call in Captain Planet, and that whole sequence, especially the way Deke did it, was probably my favorite part of the show. When they bring Captain Planet in there, first of all, because I was looking forward to Captain Planet because I thought he was cool and he had a cool voice, stuff like that. So that sequence was basically the only good part for me of the whole show.
Right.
Without that, the writers sucked, and most of that, everything else sucked.
Yes.
That's my two cents on it, but it's still better than Dexter's Laboratory.
No, it's not. And again, you really can't compare this show to Dexter's Laboratory. But anyway, going into the music, you know, like we said before, the theme, the intro outro theme, is pretty much is easily the best part of the show. And of course, the segment that Kevin said, people who worked on the series music were Tom Worrell, Thomas Chase, and Steve Rucker. Going into the legacy segment, as for toys, as with many popular cartoons, Captain Planet had a toy line, released by Tiger Toys in 1990. The line ran for several years, long enough to tie it into the New Adventures series. The toys were repackaged and sold by Grand Toys in Canada and Kenner throughout Europe. The toys were of average poseability, with the common 5 points, neck, shoulders, and hips of articulation. Finding a comprehensive list of what was released is difficult, since not all toys shown in the initial retailer catalog were even released. The collector's market is small, the toys being somewhat rare on eBay. The Captain Planet Foundation still sells a small number of them online, however. Okay, wait, there's a Captain Planet Foundation.
That can't be doing very good.
Okay, wait, there's a Captain Planet Foundation. Why the hell didn't they go to help Haiti? Anyway, there may have also been further foreign variations of certain toys, which even may be more difficult to catalog. Various toys from the New Adventures waves are not as likely to be well known. All 5 Planeteers, 5 Eco-Villains, Commander Clash, several versions of Captain Planet, each with a different gimmick or paint scheme, were released along with several vehicles. A toy ring with lights and sound and interchangeable lenses for the 5 elements was also released. 4 small vehicles were also sold through a Burger King promotion. Okay, wait. They sold a ring with lights and sound and interchangeable lenses.
I never saw that.
I'm going to have to go to eBay and look it up after we finish this, because I never saw that either. Before I go off the toys, I did have the Wheeler figure. Again, you know, I was 10, so cut me some slack here.
I'll give you slack for that one.
You know, cut me some slack here, you know, so...
I'll cut you slack.
I mean, you know, when I was 10 years old, Dick Tracy came out. I had a bunch of Dick Tracy figures.
He was awesome, though, and their playsets, to go off on a completely different tangent, their playsets were kick-ass.
Yeah.
I never had them, but I had a friend that had them, and I was so jealous because they had so many little, like, trap doors and things like that. Dick Tracy toys were awesome.
As far as the comics, Marvel Comics published a short-run comic series to tie into the show. However, the comics were a separate continuity while not effectively part of the Marvel Universe. Issue number 4's cover was parody of the cover to Fantastic Four issue number 1. For video games, 5 different Captain Planet video games exist. A video game based on the series was produced for the NES by Mindscape called Captain Planet. The game, which involved a good deal of shooting, received poor reviews from game critics, thus a Sega Mega Drive Genesis version of the game was cancelled. A separate side-scrolling game was developed by Novalogic for the Mega Drive Genesis, but only saw release in Europe and Australia. David Perry and Nick Brody developed a ZX Spectrum and Amistad CPC game using the license, a 3-level shoot-em-up. A game was also released for the Commodore Amiga and Atari ST, written by Tony Crowther. This was a platform game and was briefly bundled with Amiga 500 Cartoon Classics Pack, released in 91. Tiger Toys, owners of the action figure license, also created an LCD handheld game. I never had any of these.
No, I never did either. I never saw any of them, never played any of them or anything.
Nope. Several VHS tapes were released, usually with single episode each. A DVD with 4 episodes and bonus features exist, but only available as part of a Planeteer pack purchased from the Captain Planeteer Foundation. Oh, crap. Damn. Writer, yeah, this show is making me tired. Writer Michael Reeves reimagined the Captain Planet concept in a script he wrote for a theatrical movie in 1997 entitled Planet or Dark Planet. The script was darker than the series and set in a post-apocalyptic time period. The script was met with acceptance but got lost in the shuffle when Turner and Warner Brothers merged. Oh, good lord. Yeah, I guess it's good. In late 2007, as far as Mr. Ted Turner was in talks regarding a Captain Planet movie in early 2008, Warner Brothers denied that a movie was planned. And lastly,
I wouldn't be surprised if we see it at some point.
No, I wouldn't be surprised either. In February 2009, the Mother Nature Network, I hope I don't have that on my cable, began airing episodes of Captain Planet and the Planeteers on its website. According to the site, it's showing 20 episodes as well as unreleased footage through February 2010. Okay. Oh, crap. Well, at least this episode's over. I knew it was going to be a pretty much crapshoot for this episode, but... Oh, God, I need a nap now. Jesus Christ.
This is definitely making its... place or making an effort to be at the bottom of all the cartoons we cover over the course of Tooncast. It is definitely probably in one of the top and worst.
It's probably going to be easily my worst out of everything we cover, so it's just goes to show you.
It's almost as bad as some of the ones we've done before, I guess. Just...
Well, you know,
I'm not gonna let that go.
I'm sorry. Well, if you're not gonna let that go, then
we're gonna talk about it. The last time I talk about it is gonna be next episode because I do have things to say about when we start what we're doing next time in relation to Dexter.
Yes. Anyway. All right. So, final thoughts on Captain Planet.
Captain Planet, cool character, kind of cool theme song. God-awful, terrible cartoon that nobody should ever watch. you should never, if it ever comes out on DVD, don't buy it. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. And all you need to do is watch one episode on YouTube, and you've basically seen every episode, because that's what every episode is.
The only episodes that I actually liked were the ones with the pollution team. Because that, when Blight made the alternate ring, because that actually gave them a threat. I know that's kind of like the general plot line for other stuff. Oh, we have this good guy team that has all these things. Why don't we steal those things, make copies, and make bad versions of them? I get that. But I thought that those episodes, those two episodes or three, however many episodes there were of the Pollution Team and Captain Pollution, I did like that. But other than that, no, this show sucks. Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast. There are several ways to get in contact with us. Or leave feedback for the show. The first, you can visit www.geekcastradio.com. Find all the other podcasts there. Second is you can stop by protoconempire.com/nexus. Get all your GCR and Transformers discussion topics there. And the third is you can leave the show feedback at iTunes. We now have a voicemail line. Yeah. Like I said before, this show is really making me tired. We now have a voicemail line. Call us and leave us your thoughts on each episode. Be sure to say which show you're leaving the message for and your name. The number, The number is 502-526-5821. We are on Twitter. The show name there is GCR and TuneCast. Mine is TFG1Mike. And what is your Twitter?
BossKidOg.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast. Wish you'll join us next time when we will be reminiscing on... We'll actually be starting the Hanna-Barbera Spotlight with Huckleberry Hound. I think it's Huckleberry Hound. I don't know. Mine says Grape Ape, but we took Grape Ape off. Damn it.
Huckleberry Hound.
For now, I am TFG1Mike with...
Magnum P.I.
Saying the moral words of Optimus Prime, transform and roll out, and thank you for listening. Until next time. You guys should so start cataloging the different voices for...
Yeah.
For the differences. For the voice compare.
For which one?
For all of them, like all the Captain Planet stuff.
Oh yeah, I was just thinking about that when we were doing it today. That there, there's different voices for this. We should start doing that.
Fire, wind, water,
hot,
go planet.
By your powers combined, I am Captain Planet.
Captain Planet, he's our hero. Gonna take pollution down to zero. He's our power. And he's fighting on the planet side. Captain Planet, he's a hero. Gonna take pollution down to zero. Gonna help him put asunder bad guys who like to lose and plunder.
You'll pay for this, Captain Planet.
We're the Planeteers. You can be one too. Cause saving our planet is the thing to do. Looting and polluting is not the way. Hear what Captain Planet has to say.
The power is yours.